it's Aaron Keck. Thanks to AJ for filling in for me. We're going to give him a little bit of time off right now because it is time for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history. And I love this segment so much that I could not let AJ bogart it from me this week. So we got Scott Washington here in the studio a little bit early to pre-record so that I could do it and also give AJ a break. Scott Washington, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas, and I'm glad to be here. And it's a great week, always in history. And it seems like we, as we've commented many times, gee, just when you think nothing's happening, something else comes along.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what we've had in Washington right now. Mm-hmm. But I would say that here is something because the WCHL crew going down to New Orleans.
Yes.
There is a New Orleans tie-in this week on December 20th, 1803. France turns over New Orleans.
Yes. This is the Louisiana Purchase, right?
This is the Louisiana Purchase, exactly. Yeah.
Which at the time was New Orleans and a whole bunch of territory that came with it, right?
Yeah,
and that basically.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. 828,000 square miles, but a bargain price of $15
million. $15 million, yeah. That's
Which
pretty good.
It is really, really cool. So with New Orleans being that wonderful melting pot of the Spanish, the French, and the American. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing. So I thought, well, isn't that nice? They had that this week.
That's very
cool.
And
I'm sure that you planned the trip. Absolutely.
We're going down. We're missing the anniversary by a little bit, but yeah.
But just so that you could say you were there. And
on the story of New Orleans as being this really cool melting pot, because there's the Acadian culture of New Orleans and southern Louisiana, which comes from Maine, right? They get booted out of Maine and then they migrate down to New Orleans
Canada.
And now we associate it. Yeah, Canada.
Further on down. Exactly.
And now we associate that with New Orleans, but it's a Maine thing that comes
and really
down.
And really, you think Canada and before that, France.
France, so, you know. Exactly.
And if you look at the colonial era maps in the 1750s, we have, it looks almost like Europe because the East Coast is English. And then the middle of the part of the country is French, and you have Spain.
Spain further to the west,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and also down in Florida. So it's a very cosmopolitan country at that early stage.
Yeah, New Orleans is one of those really, really cool cosmopolitan cities that you go there, and it's everything and everybody all together. New York is like that. Vancouver is like that. If you've ever been to Vancouver, that's a really weirdly cosmopolitan city. And New Orleans, I think,
Well, I always say that the triangle is kind of like New Orleans North.
Or
at least the small triangle of Durham, Hillsborough, and
Chapel
Tarboro
Hill. Yeah.
And Chapel Hill, that's right.
The cool part. Part of the
cool part, that's right. Exactly.
That Raleigh, Cary, Apex crap
off
to the east.
That's
the cool part, that we've got over here. All right, what else happened in history?
Well, you know, this is also the week when December 18th, 1865, is when the 13th Amendment goes into effect. What's kind of notable is also this is the time when the law goes into effect that where the Secretary of State declares when the amendments go into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, while they're ratified slightly earlier in the month, it's on this date that the Secretary of State, I think it was Stewart, says that now it is official. Which is important because there was some confusion about this. And we've talked about the Bill of Rights this past week, where it goes into effect and they call it Bill of Rights Day, December 15th, 1791, in honor of that date when Virginia becomes the tipping point for ratifying the number of states needed to these amendments to go into effect.
Yeah.
But that date, you know, you could look and say, well, maybe it's around March 1st that Thomas Jefferson, as Secretary of State, actually sends out a note saying these are in effect. That's why they had to actually pass a law to say, okay, it's the Secretary of State when that person declares it, then it becomes...
Then it's in effect,
So this
and
is
presumably the Secretary of State is bound to make that declaration once the ratification happens. But
you can see how important it is. I mean, the 13th Amendment, you hear sometimes that code of people say, oh, we just need those first 10, that's good enough, like Roy Moore did.
Roy Moore,
and
yeah.
That's not true.
Leaving a few important ones out.
13th, 14th, 15th,
17th, 19th.
Yeah.
21st if you're a drinker.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. These are kind of, and you know, that now that you bring
24th
that up,
abolishing poll taxes. Yeah.
Well, now that you bring it up, then also on the December 18th, 1917, Prohibition, the 18th Amendment, goes into effect. And its effect from 1920 to 1933.
Is passed by Congress,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that, on this day.
But, of course, then the 21st Amendment nullifies it, yep. Which went to a question that somebody did raise at one point. They said, well, can you amend amendments? And
sure.
The answer is yes, because the amendments are part of the Constitution. They're not just added extra bonuses that you can be.
The question is, can you amend that part of the Constitution that lays out the process for amending the Constitution?
Mm.
No one's ever tried that.
Technically, we'd have to say yes.
You'd have to say yes, yeah.
But once it was done, that door would close.
That door would close, yeah.
That would be...
You need to scrap and start over again.
You notice
over
how the conversation lags out there, and you're listening to it, as we ponder that and go,
like, not 100%
what are the ramifications
sure.
for that?
Well, isn't it, like, going back to the 13th Amendment going into effect, this is a really significant thing because you think about the abolition of slavery, and
I think
a lot of people think of the abolition of slavery as happening in sort of one fell swoop, and that's the end of it. But there are several different moments in history at this particular time where we celebrate the abolition of slavery. We celebrate the Emancipation Proclamation coming out in 1863. Juneteenth is the date when slaves are told about the abolition of slavery. You've got Abolition Day, which is the day that the 13th Amendment is ratified. And then you've got this day, December 18th, where the amendment actually goes into effect. And the fact that we celebrate all four of those, and there are others that I haven't mentioned, suggests that it's not just about, oh, you amend the Constitution to abolish slavery. This actually has to be implemented.
Right.
And it has to be implemented in a way that is true and honest to the amendment itself. And that's a process that unfortunately takes decades, and is very much still going on today.
Well, and the abolition of slavery, the 13th Amendment, you think that's the end of it? No, we have to have the 14th to spell out, if you're born in the United States, you're a U.S. citizen, and the 15th, which is saying that, yes, you should be able to vote, and then we have the civil rights, and we have a number of things that keep on occurring where laws are important. So.
Yep.
Right now, the things we've seen this week, and some people say, it's no big deal. And it's like, it is a big deal because laws have consequences, and they are important. And usually the truth will prevail, and that's a very good thing.
Yeah, and it might take a very long time.
It might
take the problem.
That's the reason why you don't take it lightly when things occur that... It's not simply enough to build the better mousetrap. You really have to be aware of other factors in that.
Yeah, you have to market it.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking with Scott Washington this week in history, let's talk about impeachments, because there are two of them that happen back-to-back of each other.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, the Clinton impeachment in 1998, of course.
December 19th.
Yeah, and then the other one was a North Carolina governor. Who was the first one to be impeached and removed from office because he was opposing the Klan. Now, that's a pretty sobering thing to think about. And that, let's see.
This is December 20th, 1870, William Holden.
Right, that's it. And, you know, you think that 1870, and that was perhaps a bellwether of what was to come, that this issue of, you know, Reconstruction was fine in the South, as long as federal troops were there to enforce it. There was the will to enforce it. But once these things start moving, then the South starts, the more stubborn parts of the South that wanted to return to the power structures before, they begin to exert that influence with a vehemence.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have Plessy versus Ferguson.
In the 1890s,
That's right.
And William Holden is the first governor ever to be impeached and removed from office, and it happens in 1870 because he had the audacity to stand up to the KKK, and that's why he gets impeached and removed. So that's the situation they were in.
And isn't it ironic that on December 24th, 1865 is when the Ku Klux Klan was actually
organized. Yeah.
But, you know, its initial purpose sounds ridiculous. Ludicrous initiations, the baffling of public curiosity, and the amusement for members. Well,
it sounds like a 4chan group.
Does it? But of course, these are former members of the Confederate Army that formed this, and mm-hmm. that's why it starts taking a more ominous turn. And,
on Christmas Eve, the KKK is organized.
Yeah, that's a...
How unbelievable is that?
Yeah, kind of a sobering and sad thing. Also on Christmas Eve is when a misprint in an ad for a Colorado Sears store runs, asking people to call Santa.
Oh, this actually is cool. This is 1955,
right?
Yeah.
When the number that's
listed. Just a whip of a segue into the fun thing that happens. But yeah, let's go into this.
Yeah, kind of important. Yeah. Because they give the wrong number, people call it, and the number that the answering is actually NORAD in Colorado Springs.
It's a heck of a misprint, by the way.
Gosh,
like, we set up this phone line that children can call Santa, like, dial this number, and they call him up, and it's like, White House Red Line, what can we do for you?
Well, and I just love it that they played along with it, they were gracious about it, and it continues today. So now that you actually can track Santa going over the earth through NORAD, you know, it's wonderful that they do that.
That's really cool.
Certainly,
yeah.
They. those are the accidents of history that happened that I think we've talked about before. That you think, how did this happen? Well, something occurred that nobody was expecting.
Yep.
And something now that we think of, well, that's a good thing.
All right, we got time for a couple more. What do we got?
Well, 1946, December 20th, is It's a Wonderful Life debuts. Now, that's one of those great classic holiday movies, though. At the time, it came out right after the war.
Mm.
This was considered kind of a downer, almost. People are like, oh,
it is a downer. It's 2.5 hours of a downer followed by this 30 minutes of uplift. It's not even 30 minutes of uplift.
That's
it's 2.5 hours of a downer followed by 20 minutes of even more down than before, and then 5 minutes of uplift at the end.
Well, I think that must have, you know, in some ways, the mood of the country after dealing with so many mm-hmm. contingencies of war, coming and seeing a movie saying, well, how things would have been if this didn't happen, was not what people really wanted to talk about at that point. And so that's...
I like the story of It's a Wonderful Life becoming popular because the copyright lapses, right? Isn't that what happens? And then so it becomes free for TV stations to air for a good couple of decades. So it becomes this thing that just keeps getting aired and re-aired and re-aired and re-aired ad infinitum during the Christmas season because it's free. So why not? And that's how it becomes popular.
It's not necessarily through the movies.
Yeah.
It's through TV.
Yep.
Which is
kind of the same thing with The Wizard of Oz, right? Like, it comes out, it's popular, but it's not super popular. But then, like, over the years, it keeps getting re-released and rebroadcast, and then TV stations start airing it, which must have been super fun back in the age of black and white TVs.
Yes.
When that she opens the door onto Oz and it's completely irrelevant because you're watching it on a black and white TV.
Well, you know, and you mentioned the impact of TV. There's one that comes up on December 23rd,
mm-hmm.
and it's this. It was in a 1997 episode of Seinfeld.
Festivus.
This goofy, totally made up, ridiculous thing that has taken on meaning and people still enjoy it.
Yeah.
An aluminum pole and a dinner served in airing of grievances. And feats of strength. I mean, this or the miracles being, well, if you don't fall down, bringing in groceries or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's
the airing of grievances around
the
dining table, or as the rest of us refer to it, Thanksgiving.
Yes. And now that's in contrast to real things like solstice,
which is
you know, very ancient.
Which is this day in history,
right,
the 21st.
Exactly, the 21st, and where it's the shortest day of sunlight, at least in the northern hemisphere, and all the traditions that start getting associated with it, because following the 21st, every single day thereafter, of course, gets slightly incrementally longer. And you can see it literally by the first part of January.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So let's wrap up by talking about this day in history, which is Thursday the 21st, 5-year anniversary of the end of the world. 12/21/2012, the Mayan calendar. Yeah, everyone got all excited, and then it came and went.
That's right. Yeah. Well, the people who made the Mayan calendar weren't around to just say, "Well, they just said, at least it was a." Yeah. Some point there. But the movie was very good. It was great fun.
Was it very good? I didn't see it. I heard otherwise from reviews.
No, the special effects are
all right.
Wow, that's over the top.
Yeah.
That really is something.
Yeah.
We also have the first crossword puzzle appears in the New York Times, or New York World, I guess.
New York World, yeah.
You also have Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which is both notable for being a full-length animation cartoon with both color and sound. And, of course, basketball.
First ever basketball game, yeah.
Supposedly occurs on this date, which is, you know, that's pretty pretty impressive just by those things along. And the Mayflower lands at Plymouth Rock. So the 21st is a great day for all kind of cool things to happen. 1620, the 21st. And also this week is when, just as a last fun thing, when Pet Rocks, the inventor of that, Gary Dahl, this is December 18th,
Gary Dahl,
1936. He's an American entrepreneur, and he invented the Pet Rock in 1975. Hearing people talk about their pets, and, you know, this is a guy who believed he could really sell anything, and he does, becomes a millionaire.
Well, it's all about the marketing, right?
Which goes to show, just like Bill of Rights, as we've said many times, the power, the force of ideas, even the humorous ones, make a difference.
All right. Scott Washington, This Week in History, another round of History Matters. Thank you so much, happy holidays.
Well, have fun in New Orleans.
Thanks. I hopefully am currently having fun in New Orleans.
Yes, I believe you are.
Thank you. All right. That is History Matters. AJ, back to you.